Hello everybody, thanks for coming in for episode 153 of the podcast. So this is going to be a very, very special podcast episode, and today I'm going to be talking about my experience with my second belt that I've done. And I have to say, this second belt I finished off and I completed over at my friend's place. It's been a marvelous experience. I think it's just been a really cool experience, and more on the way. Before we even talk about this, I do have a few words to say, including on today's sponsors. Over on today's episodes, I want to go ahead and bring you on the sponsor that I am with, which is Scooch Case. Scooch Case, I've been a partner in for now a couple weeks, and lately I've been liking the iPhone case, and this was given to me by Scooch to try it out and review the case. And so far, I absolutely love the case. 100% recommend to anyone. They offer cases for iPhones going up to iPhone 12, iPhone Pro, iPhone Pro Max, you name it, for iPhones. Or if you're Samsung user, you can use cases, phones such as the Galaxy 20 Ultra, Galaxy 21 Ultra, you name it. So there are cases that's provided for everyone, especially if you like a brand such as LG or Moto from Motorola. That's something that you can go and purchase those cases. Scooch has been an excellent, excellent choice, and I personally love it. Go ahead, check it out, check up on Scooch. Next and not least, it is Brave Browser. I've been using Brave Browser for now 4 years. I love the browser. Browser has been working out great for anyone that is looking into tracking me down, which to me, I don't like surveillance. I don't like big ad companies that are using my data for wrongful reasons. And for me, that's when I start using Brave. About 4 years ago, I was kind of one of those early adapters that love to use different software products, and Brave was one of them. And to me, I absolutely love Brave. Check out Brave for privacy and protective purposes. Go ahead, use the referral link down below to do that, and for your own privacy, do that for yourself and for the sake of yours around you as well. So, and lastly, I want to go ahead and introduce you to a podcast host. If you're looking to host your very own podcast for the very first time, or if you are looking to switch out from one podcasting media hosting provider, Blueberry is a great choice to start out too. And I love Blueberry. And to me, Blueberry is an awesome choice if you're looking to start off. And the starting price is $12.99, which pretty much makes up to $13 if you look at it this way too. And I have to say though, Blueberry has tons of cheap options. And also, you could just go for Blueberry to host. You can also go through statistic plans, so that way you can check who is checking out your podcast for the very first time, and or a returning listener. The best part about Blueberry are the statistics, and I've used the statistics for the longest time when I've stuck around with Blueberry for many, many months, and which I have to say, it is great. If you want to track up who is listening to your podcast, from which geolocation, from which time zone, things like that too. It has tons of advanced metrics that you can keep up with too as well too. It's not just a hosting company, but it has plans to offer for anyone that is looking to keep in track and who is listening to you and where those listeners are coming from, which I like the most too. And Podbean, that is a podcast host I've used as well. And that is something I recommend as well. So if you want to go ahead and check off the affiliate links down below on the show notes, so you guys can check out which podcasting hosting provider is perfect for you and which plan is suited for you. But with that said, go ahead and check down the bottom of the description below to check up all the affiliate links down below. So let's get to it, to today's episode. And before I get into the topic of today, which before I get into my experience and what went on into my friend's place when I was working on my friend's computer, I have to say, throughout the time, I think funny enough, I heard this story. So I heard a story which is so hilarious, and just when things haven't gotten this bad, oh boy, let me just go and tell you the story before I get into my computer building experience, and how ironic how things have shifted so fast. And well, let's just put it this way too. When you hear a story about what, how goofy this is, and how ironic this story is. In fact, this is a story that was reported by ReclaimTheNet.org, which actually they actually do a very much a great job reporting things on digital civil rights and First Amendment stuff, which I think is absolutely amazing what they do and what they report. Unlike the mainstream media, they can't even report a good source based on what we're seeing here too. And plus, if you're trying to look for good information about the day and age of the internets, Reclaim the Net has done a great job. And funny enough too, which when I read about their article about YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki receives free expression reward from pro First Amendment group. And you know, and this is a story actually I heard the very, very first time over when I was building over at my friend's place. You know, and it's very ironic, like, and when a big company like YouTube, you know, they were now, right as of right now, they're not the free speech platform that anyone wants to look up on anymore. I think it's very ironic. It is. You look at it here, and pretty much the reward ceremony was sponsored by only by YouTube, right? And and this is, you know, and this is one thing I really dislike with YouTube now. And to me, this is why I don't post a lot of things up on YouTube. And I think they're doing such a horrible job. And the worst part about it too is that they're gonna give this free expression reward to someone that they've been disbanding people that they don't like, or what things that they shouldn't talk about, and some sort of misinformation that's coming from people. And in fact, when not a lot of people are spreading tons of information, which I have to say I disagree with her on many levels with her, and trying to ban people in for the fact that you're trying to do is protect people from spreading misinformation. But you know, regardless, I cannot, for the life of me, I cannot stand this woman. I mean, I think she is just a hideous piece of garbage in my in my personal opinion. It's just disgusting what she has turned YouTube to. And this is the reason why a lot of people have decided to go out and go to Odyssey, go to Rumble.com, go to different video platforms that serves people the best interests instead of this censorship garbage and nailing, pretty much dinging people, saying, oh, you shouldn't post this, you shouldn't post this copyrighted music, while even though there are some original artists that have potentially made their own music, right? And this is so crazy. which after here it says, after an unprecedented year of YouTube's censorship, the Freedom Forum Institute, a group of which states that its mission is to foster First Amendment freedoms for all. It has given YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki a Free Expression Award. The homepage for the 2021 Free Expression Awards and festival states that it recognizes individuals for their courageous acts of free and fearless expression, and lists YouTube as a signature sponsor of the event. In a video promoting the reward, Wojcicki proposed that removing content only becomes censorship when you go too far. We're removing content that violates our policies. You can go too far and that can become censorship. And so that we have been working really hard to figure out what's the right way to balance responsibility with freedom of speech. This is such a clown show. I mean, honestly, this is polar opposite, you know, my opinion. And this woman, like I've said before, she really needs to be resigned or have someone take her place. This is an absolute joke of a CEO. And by the way, I'm not trying to mean talk her by any ways, but you know, I actually have listened to Susan Wojcicki's interview, and not for one, I would say that it's not like I'm trying to trash her into millions of pieces. Well, then again, I am. But if you listen to any of her interviews, she doesn't know how to speak well as a CEO. And she just brings so much of the unprofessionalism of a CEO. And that's what bothers me of her, is she just doesn't know how to speak. It's like very much very Cali talk, very West Coast style speaking. You know, I would think as a CEO you would have a better vocabulary when you're trying to speak, and she doesn't. She just doesn't. And I'll tell you the truth to all my listeners, and absolutely no way I would ever stay in a platform and just and give all my attention. But sadly enough, and the reason that pretty much brings me back on YouTube, because I still have creators that still stay stuck in this platform and don't want to switch. And that's the problem. People just stay way too comfortable on the YouTube train and thinking that those things will last forever, when in general, that doesn't. It doesn't. And that's something you have to start switching, because all you're doing is feeding the beast. And I want to, really, really want to fully get away from YouTube and this dangerous machine. But sadly enough, I still have creators, and they themselves, they just don't want to. And it's almost like they refuse to switch. That's how I see it. So anyways, continue on the read. We're removing content that violates our policies, and you can go too far. I read that part. Excuse me. So during the next paragraph here, during an interview, she then discusses how censorship impacted her personality when her grandfather stayed in Poland after World War II and was behind the Iron Curtain, a political boundary that divided Europe for more than 45 years and was infamous for the way open contact with those inside the Iron Curtain was heavily censored. I saw how difficult it was to communicate with him, Wojcicki said, to be able to worry about what you were saying to him and for him to have concerns about what was said or what was even sent to him. She added, I've just seen the real benefit that freedom of speech has as well as representing all people of all different backgrounds and all different perspectives, and that the freedoms we have, we really can't take for granted. That we really have to make sure that we're protecting them in every way possible. And I feel, because my family history, a deep connection for those freedoms, and I'm very thankful for the freedoms that I have. But after giving her personal testimony on the importance of free speech, Wojcicki then answered a question on needing to try to balance people's right to free speech with protecting our YouTube's community from content that can be harmful. And pretty much that pretty much sums the article right there too. And see, this is the one thing I don't like about the CEO, how she's approaching this too. And the thing about this is that there are tons of creators that are actually, believe it or not, they're just creators that's just making content. And believe it or not, they're not doing anything or trying to incite violence of any sort of way. And that's where I found the problem around 2015, 2016, a couple years ago, actually. And to me, all this video censorship, or I would say, or those community guideline strikes that almost happen for no reason. If, and then this is the one loony thing about YouTube, and especially with people that knows about YouTube already, is if you've talked about certain subjects, let's say medical talk for any reason, right? And for instance, let's say if it was a professional issue or a professional medical a talk, like especially, let me just give an example, like the coronavirus. The coronavirus, it's pretty much a topic that's pretty much a lot of medical advisors speak about, and there are certain truths about the coronaviruses, and then there are things that aren't really pretty much said or even talked about on the mainstream media. And these are some actual professionals that I'll talk about coronaviruses that have truths to it and doesn't have some truth to it too. And then, however, and this is the problem I find, that if you try to censor certain words that some doctors can't even talk about, or some independent creators that cannot talk about. First of all, when the coronavirus was a big thing, and still a big thing, not just last year, but people are still talking about from big creators to small creators. And there are, you cannot say coronavirus, or right, and you cannot talk about medical into that sense, which to me, that's not freedom of speech. That's not freedom of expression, you know. And then that is very ironic, right, from my own perspective. To me, I come from a very liberty-minded perspective, and for me, that's not the way I see it to be. Very, very much freedom of speech. And at the same time, and ironically, you're limiting creators to say what they have to say, which that's very ironic. I mean, you got to look at that right here too. How many creators talk about a subject like coronavirus, and then for no reason or something out of the blue, you get penalized or you get a warning strike, which doesn't make sense for someone like me. As someone like her should be even received a free expression reward, which for me, that is fucking laughable how you can just receive this. And this right here makes absolutely no sense. And for me, I'll have I'll just have the link down below, because for me, however, I think the whole thing is absolutely laughable. 100%. It really is a laughingstock of a CEO that doesn't know how to run a company and doesn't know how to do work with this. You know, first of all, this is a Google company, for God's sakes. I mean, holy cow. And I thought, if things haven't got worse, this is so far kind of the highlight of the year, actually. Yeah. So, by the way, go ahead and check this article out, because absolutely she doesn't even really need to receive a free expression awards. And this is why I think rewards are such a joke nowadays too. And to me, this is kind of a moment in time that I kind of look back where it's like the former president, Barack Obama, got a Nobel Peace Prize, which is quite the irony right there too. When the irony about this is that he laid tons of bombs and then he gets a Nobel Peace Prize, right? Which is, that's kind of the funny part right there too. But either way, I digress. So let's go ahead and get moving on to the next subject. So the next subject, which for me, I wanted to go in, talk about the subject about my friend's build that I've done over last weekend, actually, which took me about two trips to one last weekend and actually one from 2 weeks ago and then the other one from last week. And I have to say, this was like my proudest achievement to going over and doing a second build and doing it very, very successfully. And now the one thing I'll say about the build currently, his build was something like this. He had everything that he needed. He had all the fans. I installed it for him and it worked out great. And worked out perfectly that I needed for this fancy smancy belt. So that worked out. And I actually really liked how it came about to be. So going through this topic here, I think with this belt right here, the motherboard, which is an X470. Now, the processor of my friend's choice was a Ryzen 5, which still works well if you are just a gamer that is looking to not to do much with it, if you're not doing much overclocking. But however, if you're looking into just doing regular everyday stuff too, then that's it right here. And then along with the box, it comes with its own CPU fan for the Ryzen 5. And that's still good. And actually, even though it doesn't come with the, there was another product. It was called the, what's the name of that fan? If I could think right off the top of my head. Oh, there we go. That is the Wrath Prism, which it's a bigger, now the Ryzen 7, when I first purchased it, it comes with the Wrath Prism. Well, yeah, so that's what it's called. So the Wrath Prism, it is a much bigger cooling fan, which comes along with the with all the Ryzen 7s, or I believe Ryzen 9s, if I'm correct on that too. But however, Wrath Prism versus the Ryzen 5, the stock cooler. Now it actually blows out more air on the sides for the Wrath Prism, so that's what makes the Wrath Prism better than the Ryzen 5's stock cooler when it comes with it too. But however, I will say about that is that even though it doesn't come with a Wrath Prism, the heatsink fan, that's fine right there too. However, if you're going to look into building a computer for the very, very first time, if you're a first-time builder, of course, if you're just sticking with just a regular stock cooler, it's just, for me, it is just best to get a couple fans, like two fans on the top, or two fans on the top, two in the front, or three, and then from here you should be good to go from there too. Now that's one thing I would say about fans, is that if you're gonna go for it too, that is still so great too, because the stock cooler wouldn't be enough. But however, when I checked on my friend's when I checked on his performance level, when I finished everything right there too, actually this CPU cooled just fine. Now, however, my friend can still go ahead and purchase another, a heatsink, probably some from a company like Cooler Master or from another company that provides heatsink fans, much, much better. And again, that can be something that anybody can purchase, which for me, if I ever do overclocking, let's just say down the road, if I ever want to do overclocking, then that'll be a great, great choice to do that for sure. If I ever wanted to do overclocking or get a fancy a heatsink fan, something much probably somewhat better than a RAF Prism, but then again, if you're not the person that does overclocking and just using your computer solely for browsing, for small work you're doing, or for mostly gaming, Ryzen 5 or Ryzen 7 is still good. And for me, why I got or purchased the Ryzen 7 and not the Ryzen 5 models was because of lastability. I wanted to get something that lasts long, something that I will keep, and something that's, for me, I want the performance to be very, very smooth. That's the reason why I decided to go for a purchase like that too. And to me, that was pretty much the best choice I've ever made, which was the Ryzen 7, because I want things to last much, much longer. But however, due to the demand with Ryzen 7 and everything that went on economically back then, since of last year, of course, things were very, very difficult. So because of the things were just coming in very, very slow from China and the manufacturing. So that's why my friend couldn't get Ryzen 7, but also the budget price for getting parts was pretty much difficult back then too. And that's why, as if you're a builder or getting into building your own custom PC for the first time in 2021, it's going to be more likely, it's going to be very, very difficult for a first-time builder. No joke. This is something that if you're going to look into getting anything, it is best that you get things ahead of time too. And right now with the graphics card market, this is where it is going to get very, very difficult. And you've got to know where you can go and make a purchase, what prices that you can afford as of right now too. And to me, if you're going to look into a card, and if you're just someone that is looking to get a graphics card, and if you're just going to spend the graphics card right on the now and not putting it down later too, trust me if I say this, the prices will come down. But at the very moment in time, the crypto mining space is still alive. So that's why they still have to bring the price up, because due to demand, they have to. They just have to. And these manufacturers cannot keep up with demand. So that is why. So that is why of the many reasons that we still have a shortage or a chipset shortage going in China, and they cannot make tons of new graphics card because of the shortages coming from overseas. So again, this makes tons of sense that we cannot get these graphics card coming in the way too. Now, however, if you look at it right now, you can still get chipsets from Intel, which, by the way, the last time I went to a store, Best Buy's actually. I actually went to Best Buy's yesterday because just to browse, and also a relative decided she needed a flash drive for her work. So actually, that was that purpose. So on my time over there, when I was over to look for the flash drive, I went over to the CPUs and see if they still have Ryzens. However, they didn't have Ryzens, but they still have Intel 5, Intel 7, and Intel i9, which is quite strange. They still have it. And that makes me say, wow, you know, even though it's not doing well, even though a lot of people would prefer to get the Ryzen due to its performance over Intel right now, guess what? Right now, you can only get what you can get right now. And I would tell you, for anyone listening, Intel is not bad at all, too. Intel still makes updates regularly on their processors, and overall, you can still put a good investment on Intel, on an Intel build, because right now with the way it's going with these shortages and hard to find things, I mean, right now your choices are limited to one thing. If you're going to be buying in store, then you're going to most likely going to have to go for an Intel build at the very moment, if you cannot snag it online too, because right now everything is just scarce. And that's why for my friend's build, you know what, and the funny thing is, I would say one of the few funny things I would add into it was that he actually got his on time, which was good in a way, because even though you don't know what's going to happen in today's world, but it's always great to be prepared. Because if you're just going to get things last minute and not get things ahead of time, guess what? You're not doing the smart, ideal decision of what you're trying to do, because you got to get yourself prepared. And that is why people aren't always preparing things when there's very much rough things that's happening in the world, especially with today in the computing world. If you're going to need to get a part, you just have to save up on, make sure you get those parts. And for right now, like for instance, I'm looking at Newegg right now too. And they still have one of the few things they still have right now is the 2000 model from Ryzen. Now, are people still purchasing the 2700? Absolutely. They're still going to purchase second gen chipsets. Well, however, I myself purchased the latest third generation Ryzen just because it was available at the time. And I said, let me get it, because if I don't, I will regret it. And that is far from the truth, because that is absolutely something that it was necessary at the time. And to me right there, when I purchased all my parts from last year on 2021, let me not get too sidetracked of the story of my friend's builds, but that's one thing. When I got my stuff prepared around middle of 2020 during out the pandemic, that's just something that came in mind, was like, I knew if this was going to become a huge demand. And that's one thing I said, let me get it while it's hot. And guess what? After 5 months throughout the pandemic, right, I checked up all the Ryzen processors, and they were gone. They were out of stock on Amazon, Newegg, everywhere else, you name it. Luckily, when my friend was making his purchases last year, he saved up, and plus I've helped him find a very good price for an available Ryzen 5 processor. So I did, and I helped him out right there too, and I helped my buddy out to get all the parts that he needed. And it was great too. That's one of the things, like for the motherboard, he actually picked his own motherboard, and I actually helped him with the CPU, with the CPU, which was available, and see which ones are available, because thing is right now too, if you're looking to purchase AMD processor, it is right now hard to come by, and you have to look into getting it as fast as you can. In fact, if I understood correctly right now too, I know Newegg and Amazon are not carrying the Ryzen 5000 series because they're all out. They are all out of the current generation. If I'm not mistaken, they may have brought the Ryzen 7 5000 series back. But I think as of right now, while I'm looking at Newegg here, actually they still have some demand all over. So actually, thankfully, they still have it in stock already too. But that's the thing about computer parts, is that they'll come when it's ready and available back in stock, or it can go. That's one thing about it too, is like if you're starting to build, that's one thing, is that processors, when you're making a purchase for the first time, or making a computer for the first time, excuse me, you've just got to prepare yourself, because and make sure you put money on the side, ideally, and make sure you be prepared for the upcoming purchase, because you don't know if these processors are going to be in demand, who's going to buy it. And AMD right now is, like I've said before in previous episodes, they are rocking it at the very moment. They're doing much better, much, much better than Intel that ever was in the past. And to me, that's like the highlight with AMD. AMD is just kicking ass. It's something people are just looking at AMD right now, because it is rocking out the workforce, the gaming experience for everybody. And that's quite the truth right there too. So, and just because that it is a very smooth experience. That's why everybody is choosing AMD over Intel at the very moment too. Now, however, I think one thing I will say, that if you are a first-time builder, or for someone that is looking to build your computer for the very, very, very first time, Intels are not bad. You can still purchase Intels, even though they're, what is it about Intels that I can recommend? Well, they are super, super terrible, even though, yes, they have bug issues. You're still behind the times, I would say. But if you're just looking for a basic computer, like, you can still purchase an Intel i3 or an i5 for work reasons. And that's one of the things I can say about to anyone that is looking to build your own computer for the first time, which isn't that bad. You can go ahead and purchase an Intel i5 and do what you can at the very moment too. Now, for me, Intel, what it does best is that they do make regular updates, which is still great. And however, with AMD, they said that their updates are so regular. And that's kind of one of the things I would say with AMD, is that when you're making an update, you have to make these updates very, very often. With Intel, you do not. That's one thing I'll say about Intel in their defense, is that you don't have to keep updating every single time. Now, they still work out patches to update any security holes. And I understand that as of right now, it's still scarring Intel at the very moment. But however, that's kind of my only defense for Intel. And so if you're looking to start with a computer, Intels are not bad. Actually, I spoken with a younger kid that is talking about building their first PC. It's like, oh, okay, that's great. And he says, are you looking for AMD or Intel? And he said Intel. And to me, that's actually not bad for anyone starting off. Intels actually are great for anyone starting up their own build for their very first time. Because right now, you like if you were to go to a local Best Buy or a local computer store, you just cannot find an AMD processor. Believe me, I've seen or I've gone in and entered at Best Buys and you cannot find a single AMD Ryzen processors at all. And that is truth. That is truth, my friends. Now, I want to go ahead and give you my comparison between my motherboard, the MSI X570 versus my friend's motherboard, MSI brand X470. Now, both of them are really good. There are very much of a huge difference. Obviously, of course. So I'm going to go and read up the comparison for MSI MPG X570 Gaming Plus versus my friend's X470 Gaming Plus Max. So there are big difference to the two right there too. And now let's go and read over what these two have to offer. So I want to go over first the X470 Gaming Plus Max, which right here for both of them do support DDR4 and the millihertz on the DDR4s, which is 240 megahertz, and which supports all the way high as 400 megahertz. And then right here, the memory slot types are DIMM. And for maximum RAM size, the X470 Gaming Plus Max reaches up to 64 gigabytes. And the number of memory slots are 4, and just like mine's as well. Now, however, in comparison now to MSI MPG X570, so the gaming plus I have here, which has 4 slots of memory. Now, however, which make the positive for the 570, the maximum RAM size is 128. So if I want to upgrade at some point down the line, I can upgrade it up to 128 gigabytes. Now, my friend only can put additional 4 slots if he likes to. However, it's only supported up all the way to 64 gigabytes. So that is a big difference right here. So in comparison right here. So yeah. So now for both of them, if you're looking to have built-in Wi-Fi for those motherboards, unfortunately, both of them don't have Wi-Fi built in, so you have to go in and purchase a Wi-Fi card, just like my friend did. Now, there are certain motherboards that does support built-in Wi-Fi, but the expenses of these high-end MSI boards will cost you a lot more. Now, however, since I mostly play via LAN, I didn't have to put in a built-in Wi-Fi card. Now, however, my friend's situation, since he lives actually upstairs on the second floor, he has to have no choice but to have Wi-Fi in order to have internet reach up over to his room. So certain reasons there are things he has to have Wi-Fi, because having to set up a wire connection, which will be quite of a task and something I didn't want to prepare myself to overwork myself to do so. So that right there, you have to be prepared to spend a little bit more money if you want to have Wi-Fi for this PC. And let's see here. So in comparison here, now the X470 is still workable, it's still in good use in today. Now the previous generations, that board is still supports previous generations of the AMD Ryzen, which is second generation and first generation. So now, however, my friend's not going to go back into the first and second generation of those processors, and he's still going to keep the third generation. Though, I will add is that I don't know if it's pretty much upgradable. The processor is still upgradable for Ryzen 5000 series, because now if his board can do it, that'll be pretty amazing. Now, however, I will let everybody know that not all boards are upgradable to 5000 series. So please make sure to check up on the latest updates on your motherboard, whatever that is. If it's MSI, ASUS, ASRock, whatever it may be. So next, I wanted to go and dig deep into storage. So now storage right here, if you're looking in storage, now the best thing about those two motherboards in general, it's that you have the choice to install a M.2 SSD. And what that means right there is that you can just install in a M.2 solid state drive right in your motherboard. So in meaning that you don't have to go out and purchase another a SSD hard drive, if you don't have to, which is still good of an option right there. I will say that you can still have, with the case my friend have, you can still add a 2 terabyte of space, which actually he purchased a 2 terabyte space from Western Digital, if my memory serves me right. But anyways, I got to install the additional 2 terabytes, and with his M.2, which I actually recommend purchasing a M.2, since the memory the speed on it is so much faster than the traditional mechanical hard drives from the yesteryears. And I said, hey, just go out and spend a little bit extra on the M.2. It runs much faster and it's very, very smooth. And to me, quite honest, like his expression on it, he was so surprised how fast the M.2s load up for him when he starts up his computer for the very first time. And he was very much impressed. I will say that right there too. That was pretty much my same reaction whenever, anytime I'm starting up my computer for the first time or anything like that too. That would be my impression of how I want my computer to start up. Fast in seconds, don't have to wait so long, and it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect than your regular slow mechanical hard drives. It is so fast, you know, and also having to start up your day very smoothly within seconds, not within minutes, which that's makes it perfect right there too. And in addition, I will clearly state that you have one M.2 for your main drive, and then both of them does provide as well, which is a secondary M.2 slot, which you can still make it a additional memory. Just for some reason you're wanting to build up more memory down on the road, or if you're looking to make an upgrade, that you certainly can right there too, and then insert that right when your motherboard too, which is, I think it's absolutely amazing to have a main one, a main M.2 SSD, and a secondary one too, in case you've ran out of space, which I think is absolutely genius for a ATX motherboard, for what these two serve right there too. And yeah, overall, it is cool. It is fantastic how they were able to do this, and nothing what I've seen in previous motherboards. Also, take foot note right there too. Now the X470 height and width depth on it is slightly bigger than the X570 ATX motherboard. That I will say, in comparison to, they are both really good motherboards right here. However, if I had to make the choice between the X470 or between X470 and the X570, I would still take and go for the X570, only because it's just the motherboard to go. And also down the road, if I want to future-proof it too, I want to keep something that is very, very current, current to me. And that way, let's say if the X470 is out of date, and if I cannot make an upgrade to the next processor, to, let's say, the next step after the 3000 series to the Ryzen 5000 series, and if I want to future-proof it, and if I want to make an update, then that's where I want to go from here and make a nice, fancy, smancy upgrade. Now, the X470, I don't know if they're going to release support for that board right there too. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Now, if I want to support or probably upgrade to 5000, now though, I will say this. So it does. So just so you guys know, it's not just MSI. Now there are certain motherboards that are motherboard companies that are trying to push in the support for 5000 series, but again, you still have to look into updates availability and make sure that if that will work for your current motherboard, if you're able to upgrade to the 5000 series down the road, which for me later on down the road, I would love to do, is make an upgrade from the 3000 series to the 5000 series, and that way I can do that. And in addition to both of the comparisons to the MSI brands, X470 and the X570 right there too, both of the motherboards does come with socket AM4. So that right there, that is an easy to go process right here. And you guys can still find out all the information and what I'm talking about, the AM4 socket processors, which that's not too hard to find. You can just Google it or YouTube it, and that way you guys know what that socket looks like and what that socket is. Now, bottom line, and now with all the comparison to both of those ATX motherboards, now, if I had to recommend to anybody to make the upgrade too, would it be the X470 or the X570? So I would say this is that I don't try to give too many recommendations, and because again, you have to make that choice yourself and what fits for you, what works for you. And however, there are more, what you call it, memory options for the X470. So for DDR4, that's pretty much the plus side on the X470 compared to the memory support that's on the X570 still. So, but again, that is still not bad at all. However, if it was me down the line trying to future proof a item that I'm trying to upgrade, I will still keep the X570 just because I think it is it's still upgradable, and the board itself is not difficult too. I've always referred to my manual. If I've had tons of issues over with my build, and I've had to go ahead and go back many times to check out where this piece goes from that, and so far that helped me a lot throughout my building journey, building experience. And I think it is wonderful that once you have all the knowledge that you have for right there too, it, that's why I've always liked the X570, that ATX AMD motherboard, which that's something for me I like. It's very, very simple and it's not too complicated. And 470 isn't as well too, but if you're looking into budget and not trying to spend too much on a motherboard, or for any reason you want to have a game on a budget, the 470 Gaming Plus Max is the way to go if you're looking for a budget. Now, if you have someone or something that's pretty much a limited, unlimited budget and you can still spend a little bit extra, then the X570 Gaming Plus is the way to go if you're looking to future-proof your build. By all means, this is perfect right there. You can still get the X570, which I still have working on to this day, which right now this is where I am actually making most of my recordings. So you guys can go ahead and check all that out right there too. In fact, most of my recordings I do on here works pretty great. It works pretty great. Now, in addition to my commentary about this too, I will say the both my friends' motherboard and my motherboard on here too, I will add in and say this as well, as however, both do support MSI Mystic Light. Now, if you love RGBs, they both support it, and that's something I like, RGB style motherboards. I think it is very, very cool to have. Again, it's just another luxury, and you don't have to have the LG RGB lights on your PC, because this is just for aesthetics, or if you just like to show off your PC and have it brighten up with so many different colors. Again, this is just options, choices. Yeah. So again, I guess you get the picture right there too, so I don't have to explain it. But regardless, you can have RGBs and why not too, and so do it from here too. But however, so getting right off the bat right here, I think his build was amazing. It is fantastic. It's pretty much a fantastic build, which I enjoyed I enjoyed working on. It was difficult, not right off the bat at first, but then later down the road when I've worked over and continued playing, messing around with his build, it was smooth as butter. And let me just fast forward off the end result right here too. Now, the next following weekend, after I went and made a revisit again, after I pretty much had the motherboard set in place, screwed in on his chassis, and pretty much I left everything to come back after the next weekend, because for many, many reasons, I've done the build on a Saturday of last week and didn't get around to finishing off because due to some bumps on the road, like not getting the extension fans for for the Cooler Masters. And what I have to say, I'm not hating on Cooler Master, but they make the shortest cables on planet Earth. Like, you cannot reach out and connect your fan connectors. If you like Cooler Master fans, yeah. So one thing I'll say about it is, like, I don't have a problem with Cooler Master, but man, the length of those cables are short, very short, and you cannot reach it. And that's a bit unfortunate. You cannot. And that's one thing I'd say about Cooler Masters as a brand. While they are a really amazing brand, they just do not make long extension. They just don't make long cables for it. That's unfortunate. So we had to wait till next week till the mail people or wherever my friend makes his purchase on have pretty much had to go and I said, pretty much sent it over to my friend's place, which most of the time my friend purchases stuff on Amazon. And that worked out. We got his stuff. I came back and finished off the rest. Like I said, pretty much finished off the rest from off of his computer and got it done pretty much within one afternoon. That worked out too. So it took me about 2 days to finish it off. And I'm very, very happy. Now, however, the lesson I actually learned about doing it computer builds is that make sure you are prepared. Sometimes it's good to over-prepare than to be under-prepared. So that's the main thing I wanted to mention. So if you're looking to build a computer for the very, very first time, be sure to be prepared to get extension connections and or RGB headers. If you have to get headers, doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Get what you can get. So that's pretty much one of the takes. I want to just go ahead and bring this up over here. Since I already made myself clear about getting extensions, it's always good to grab an extension in case you have a short fan, like I said, the Cooler Master fans. For some odd reason, Cooler Masters makes their the fan length very, very short. In fact, if I were, I will still keep Cooler Master. I will definitely try other brands as well to try out how the other fans are like, you know. So to me, I'm still open to the idea of purchasing different fans, which that's not so bad at all. Of course, you can still go ahead and test out and try different brands and see what works for you well. So for me, I will be looking to other brands. In fact, while I was working over at my friend's place, my other friend's place that lives a few minutes away from my house, two miles away from my house, the one fan actually I went ahead and done is installed the back fan of his computer, which I thought, I decided to replace the Cooler Master, the stock Cooler Master fan that came along with it, and decided to go for something much better, which is called it Noctis. Now, if you have not heard about the Noctis fan, I will go ahead and put the link down in the description below so you can check out the brand Noctis. It is a Austrian company, which I will say that in respect to them, I like the Noctis fan because the design is really well made. And not just well made, but one thing I will say, unlike the Cooler Master fans, it does come with its own extension. And so, yes, this is perfect. I love that. And yes, the Noctis fan is going to come with an extra expense, and just like anything else. Do I recommend the Noctis fan for anyone? Absolutely. The Noctis fan, it's perfect. I know it comes with many different colors, not just the brown, tan color design of the fan. But I think if you're going to look into a good fan, look for a fan that comes with extension cables. I think that is key right there too. And make sure that if you're going to get and purchase your own computer, make sure to purchase extensions just in case if you bump into any issues, because that way, if anything else, at least you're not having to save, you're going to save yourself some time when you're building your own computer. And to me, that was the bump in the road, I'd say, that stopped me from my very first build. And then I had to relearn this the second time and not having to think this over the second time. Plus, I wasn't even thinking through it too. Me and my friend, we weren't even thinking through the build itself. So that's why I've actually had to wait for next weekend. And so again, if I ever work on a fan, or what you call it, a computer for myself, for a brother of mine, or for another friend of mine, let's just say, or for business wise, I will always have to make sure you keep extensions at all times. That way you're very much prepared than having to leave any details behind, because you're pretty much ahead of anyone else too, or any designer. And for me, my next build, it's going to be probably a mining rig, something very small. And I don't want to get a big mining rig, but if so, that'll be very, very important to keep in mind, keep in check. Or if I ever decide for whatever reason it may be, if I want to go for a different style of case, then or for a brand new computer or brand new aesthetics of the computer, then it is definitely the way to go. Now, the last thing I do want to go ahead and bring up on the topic of graphics card. So the graphics card of my friend's choice was a Asus 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 1030 graphics card. So, and this is what kind of the thing about with today, if you are a PC builder, I will tell you that, and if you're looking to purchasing a, let's say, for instance, a graphics card. Now, however, no computer, as of right now, if you're going to look into purchasing a computer or a motherboard that is a AMD motherboard, I will want to point out one thing is a lot of people will think that you can just go ahead and connect, use the onboard display, onboard video display that comes with your motherboard. Now, from what I've learned, and this is, I don't know why AMD motherboards doesn't do that. However, there's a big difference that now with Intel, you can still plug in the onboard graphics and still use that that unless if you don't have a graphics card. Now, however, I do recommend anyone purchasing a graphics card only because that you're gonna get better displays than what you would get on a built-in onboard graphics that comes with your motherboard, like the HDMI port or the DVI port that comes along with it too. Either way, wherever that comes with motherboards nowadays too. And why I will say that I recommend getting a graphics card, because for one, most of your games that you're gonna be running requires that, of course. Now, one of the things I will say that luckily my friend purchased a graphics card, and so far that build that I've done for him, that worked out very, very well, and he did not miss a single thing off his build, which I thought was great that he had everything on hand, and that was really good on his side. And now the 1030, I'm sure for all of you listening to this podcast, you have to say, well, why didn't he not get something else, right? How can he could have got himself a MSI 1660 or the RTX or whatever model of the RTX. The thing about this right now, with everything going on, you cannot find a graphics card in the market right now too. Like I've said before, you just cannot, because just because of the chip shortages, you cannot find a good graphics card. And that's where we come down to, is using the 1030 for the meantime. Will it still work with games? Absolutely too. My conclusion is that he's going to use that card for the meantime. Once the prices come down for many of these big high-end graphics card, then he's going to look into considering the option of upgrading to a higher graphics card that comes with 4K if he wishes to, and stuff like that too, because there's going to be tons and tons of options for a friend of mine that's going to look into upgrading to the next graphics card or next step right there too. Now the price point for the 1030 wasn't that bad, so he actually purchased around $80-$90, something like that too. Don't remember the price point, but he did swooped in and grabbed it, which to me, that's just the only thing available at this point. Now, if you can find something that's very, very cheap, and considering that if that graphics card can work for you for some games, that some games are going to be very efficient, I would say find something that will work out okay. Because right now, everything is just scarce, and you cannot expect to find out that what's going to come in the inventory the next week or the next few days. Because at this point, you just going to have to pick it and keep it in your system for as long as you can until those graphics cards just drop in price, whether it would be MSI, Gigabyte, AMD, whatever brand it may be too. You just gotta have to be very patient until things drop, and while the demand of crypto mining is not as boom, is pretty much not booming right now too. Now there are still high end ones available, but right now it's just pretty expensive. So at this point, if you're not willing to spend a higher amount on it, then for goodness sake, I think that's just the best way to do it and not spend high amount on anything. And if for me, however, as a consumer, I wouldn't even do it either. I would not. So that's when it comes down to is get a graphics card that is available low on price, even if it's a low profile graphics card. And if you're not willing to spend about over $350, then don't even do it. Just get a low profile or low end graphics card that will work just fine until things start to stabilize in pricing. But right now, we're definitely seeing a lot of increasing prices due to inflation and due to the markets. So as of this point, don't rush and or don't even go and spend high if you cannot do that. So that's the bottom line too. So I wanted to definitely put this episode in a good footnote and just say to anyone that is listening, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. I appreciate every single listener listening to my episodes every single week. Now coming down the next few days, if I so can or willing to get an episode produced pretty soon, because I'm actually very excited to talk about the next episodes, which is altcoins and more on the crypto space. To me, the next episode I'd love to talk about is ARRR, Pirate Chain, and that what I am very much excited about, and I am very, very bullish on it. And I cannot wait to talk about it. It is going to be very cool, very exciting to talk about Pirate Chain. So that's what we're going to get into on next episode on 154 of the Leland Gray podcast. Anyways, I hope you guys learned so much on this episode. If this has inspired you to build a PC, or if you are looking into building a custom PC yourself, Windows base, whatever it may be, my DMs are open on social media. My emails are open, and you can write me down below on my custom email, which is leon@leonthegrayentry.blog, which is leon@leonthegrayentry.blog. I have it down on the show notes below. With that said, everybody, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. I'll be out. I hope you guys have a great and well weekend ahead of you, and stay well, my friends. Peace out.